Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning. And today my guest is Imogen Ragone, an Alexander Technique teacher in Wilmington, Delaware. And we're going to talk today about some recent developments in what's called Alexander Technique Directing. And we'll talk a little bit about what that means in a moment. But first, Imogen, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Robert. I'm very glad to be here.
I'm excited about this discussion because it really it gets at some interesting, fascinating new developments. But before we get into this, could you, for our listeners who may not be familiar with the Alexander technique, could you give a little short description of that for them?
Sure. The Alexander technique is, I guess, very simply a way of giving ourselves sort of freedom of choice in the way we move and coordinate our body. We can free ourselves of habitual ways of doing things and find more natural, comfortable, easy ways of doing things.
Right.
And it's a very mindful technique. It uses our thinking and thought processes in the way that we do that, and that'll come out in what we're going to talk about.
Yes, absolutely. Because I would say at the core of the Alexander technique is something called Alexander technique directing. And basically, it's you could say it's a kind of a self-talk. It's asking of yourself or telling gently to yourself what you would like to happen. And there's a long history of these directions, and I don't think we need to go through all of it, but I do think it's useful to say that in recent years, a type of direction has come to the fore, which some people call negative directions. Sometimes they're called inhibitory directions. And they're basically I am not statements. And they are statements like I am not tensing my neck, or I am not compressing my body. And there are an unlimited number of these. They are basically saying to yourself, I am not doing something that I may be doing that I don't want to do anymore. Mm-hmm. And if they are self-delivered in an effective way, and that's a whole nother topic in a way, they are extraordinarily powerful and have, I think, had a huge impact on the Alexander world. But we're going to talk today about, in a way, I would say the next step beyond those, which doesn't really have a title yet. We were talking about this before the podcast. Freedom directions maybe would be one possible title for them.
That's quite nice.
You like that? Okay. Yeah. And probably we should at some point consult with the developer of this, an Alexander teacher in Cincinnati, Ohio, Jennifer Roig Francoli, I think it's pronounced, mm-hmm. who came up with these. And there's an earlier interview I've done with her about how she discovered them and what they are. And I suppose I could just define them as being statements of the sort, I am free, that could be one, or my neck is free, or my body is free, or I am free to do something, could be I'm free to walk, I'm free to breathe. There are many, many variants of those as well. And Imogen and I are going to talk about mostly her, but maybe I'll chime in here as well, her experiences in using these freedom directions with her students.
Yes.
So.
And with myself.
and absolutely, and with herself. And yeah. I think she's been using them a bit more with her students than I have. I've only started in the last couple of weeks. But I've certainly been using them with myself for several months now. So, Imogen, what have you found when you bring these to your students now?
Well, unlike the negative directions, which I really have to coax people to use, I have an immediate positive reaction. People are immediately drawn to the word free, and maybe even more importantly, I see a physically positive reaction, as in a letting go of tension and more freedom of movement. And people seem very happy to take them on in a
Yes.
way that I didn't really ever see, even though people would could be convinced definitely that the negative directions are useful and work. It sort of took some convincing. It wasn't an immediate response like that in the same way. Have you found the same
Yes,
thing?
yes. I had a student just before I started this little transition who I said to her, she was sitting in a chair, and I said, "How could you say to yourself, I'm not sitting in the chair?" I prefaced it by saying, I know that's going to seem like a little bit crazy, but could you do that? And she immediately said, no, I can't do that because I am sitting in the chair. And that was a bit of an extreme reaction. And I have found that some students are kind of okay with negative directions, but inevitably, I get into a whole thing about how they're negative grammatically, but they're not really negative in terms of their intent and all that kind of stuff. And honestly, my limited experience with teaching the freedom version is that they work just as well, and that you don't need to go through all that stuff that you sometimes have to do with negative directions.
Now my first I just wanted to backtrack slightly. My
Sure.
first sort of coming across Jennifer's this way of directing came through a comment on a blog I did about directions in general. It might have actually been on negative directions, I don't remember. But what I understood, and maybe her thinking has developed since then, because that's quite a few months ago, is that I just got that she was stating our typical ways of directing ourselves to let the net be free or to lengthen and widen, those sorts of things, but stating them as a fact, rather than something to do, even though we're letting it happen, which is better than doing it, which I think is useful in itself. If you think, my neck is free. Or even a not free statement, if you're just thinking of it as a sort of is statement, a statement of fact, that takes away that doing
I think it
part.
takes away your having the ability to do something.
And I have had students comment that it seems more, almost a bit more like an affirmation, which people don't think of doing. And I think that's maybe a positive thing. I don't know. Well, affirmations are positive. But then I listened to the podcast, the interview you did with Jennifer, where she really explained her thinking through using the word free and how the word free has become really important to these directions. And the kind of idea of free will behind it, that we're free to do it any way we want. And that's really empowering, I think. Once you've not got this narrow, I mean, my idea of free before was like free of tension or free to move, which is very nice, but it's still something I was trying to kind of get at, however subtly, and but when you kind of take away even that, and it's sort of the free will, free to do it any way I want, which could be in a tense way, but if you give it up for your body, it more than likely. And typically, my experience and those of the other people chooses a much better, a nicer, more comfortable, less tense way of doing things. So,
Well, I've been thinking a lot just on the theoretical side of things, why these work and why and how they relate to negative directions, which I think have really been clearly established work and are effective.
Oh,
And
yeah.
I think the connection is that there are two ways of saying the same thing. Like if I say I'm not compressing myself, then that's the same as saying I'm free, at least on a physical level. And if I'm not tensing my neck, then my neck will be free or freer,
Is
certainly. Yeah.
yeah.
And I think that in a way, saying I am free or my neck is free or whatever is just is in a sense going one step up past the nuts and bolts that underlies it, but that n you don't on a conscious level necessarily have to deal with. If I say I am
Yeah.
free, then really I'm leaving it up to inner lower level systems to make that happen.
Absolutely. And there've been some negative directions that I've never taken to, like I am not tensing my neck because the tensing in the neck is just too much of a trigger for me. And it's talking about it, if you know what I mean. And I think with negative directions, and I think you've alluded to this before too, that sometimes we do them a little bit before we don't do them.
Exactly.
But I think you bypass that with the free. And I certainly love my neck is free,
Right.
in a way that, and find useful in a way that I never liked. You know,
Right.
the negative version of that.
I
There's other negative directions that I use a lot and still do, but that was one that never did it for me.
And the one that I found a little troublesome or a little tricky to implement for some students was the one I'm not breathing. Some students, if they've had breathing issues, that's a little leap for them. Whereas if you say,
I am free to
I'm
breathe
free to breathe,
by
or my
breathing.
breathing is free,
Free. I've used both.
yeah,
Yes.
and
Very.
they both achieve, I think, exactly the same
Yeah.
thing, but in a more efficient way
Yeah.
than going back a step and saying, well, what does that mean? You could say, well, my breathing is free. Well, what does that mean? It means I'm not breathing in my usual way, which is kind of the negative
Same
version of
thing,
that. But
yeah.
who needs that if you can get it with a more acceptable positive statement. So I guess the big question I had, and I wanted to just check with you, when I first learned about these and started experimenting with them and comparing them with the effects of the negative versions on myself, I pretty quickly came to the conclusion that the positive version worked as well, if not better, than the negative. But I wondered whether that would be true for someone who hadn't already explored negative directions.
Well,
And I have tried that with a couple of new students who've never heard of negative directions, and it certainly seems to work.
I have an interesting little example from a lesson I taught this week. And I was having my student experiment herself, without hands-on actually, just getting in and out of a chair using different directions, and the direction that helped her the most, which she was surprised, she'd been introduced to the free directions first, but the direction that helped us the most and she was most surprised about was I am not standing up. And when she thought that as she got out of the chair, it was remarkably freer and different. So that seemed really I mean, and of course everyone's going to be different, but it seems to me that type of negative direction, the type where it's you're doing something and you're giving yourself the statement that you're not doing it, so basically not to say that you're not doing it, but to give your body the chance to find a different way of doing it, a more helpful way.
Right.
which is a slightly different thing from the I'm not tensing my neck sort of statement, which is actually telling yourself something that you don't want to do.
Exactly. Well, you know, it could be that some, I mean, as you said, everyone's different, and some people, I think for in specific instances, negative directions for some people might work better.
And to backtrack, this particular student has had tremendous success with the free directions and really has been enjoying them for lots of different things. So it was kind of a surprise that this other one. And I think because I had her think it before she stood up, so that basically is inhibition, basically. She was dropping away any kind of preparation and habits associated with getting out of the chair. And then kept that kind of thought going as she moved, you know. And I did try kind of pairing the negative direction, the inhibitory direction, and then as she moved, that she was free to stand up, you know, kind of seeing what a combination would do. And in this particular instance, it still wasn't as effective as the I'm not standing up, you know.
Although
Anyway.
it could be that after she works with that a little bit,
Absolutely.
going
This is
back
just
to
the
the free
first.
version might be just as good. So I guess the real question is for teachers listening to this, it seems like you don't lose anything by starting with the free version, and then
Absolutely not.
you could then introduce the negative directions as an interesting variant to your students. Because I mean, me personally, I've been kind of living in the negative direction world for years now, and I really like them, so I use them, but I also now bring in the free versions, and probably over time I will drop most of the negative ones, but there's no rush. So I think it's good to have them both.
I definitely think it's good to have them both, and I think you may be right that as the free ones are more appealing initially too, that for me seems the place that's more obvious to start.
For a
But
new
there's some
student,
for a new student, but there's something very empowering about saying no to something that you don't want to. You know, so anyway, I did have a lovely experience. I was told you a little bit about myself using the free directions when I was making dinner the other day. I was in a hurry, sort of not a big hurry, but I was on a bit of a timeline. I was getting dinner before I had to go out and teach a class, and I was just on my own doing it. And I was in that kind of got to get it done sort of mode. And of course, you know, I'm an Alexander teacher, so I was, you know, aiming to think things that would help me get out of this mode. And, you know, all my typical ways of directing weren't really solving it. And I'd been working with the free directions or the freedom directions, and just thought to myself, well, I'm free to make my dinner any way I want. And sort of that was giving me freedom to, if I wanted to kind of get it done in a rush and banging things around, I could. But as soon as I thought that, I just let it all go. I kind of it felt I felt happier about making my dinner. It just
Yeah, that's
and
a really good
physically,
example, I
yeah.
think.
And I was
It's a good example also because it just shows how these directions, freedom directions or negative directions, can be applied to any sort of situation you find yourself in. You know, in your case, got to get dinner ready, got to go teach a class. They
These are
just.
all things I wanted to do. I wanted to eat. I wanted to teach my class. But you get in that mode of I've got to do it, you know. And
Exactly, yeah.
And as and I was thinking about this, and I'd come across a phrase that appealed to me in some work by a friend of mine who's a psychotherapist, which is called the paradoxical theory of change. Now, I'm afraid I don't know the exact exact reference for it. But the theory goes that you can't, change isn't going to happen when you're trying to change. But once you give up trying to change, then it can happen. And it feels like, or it seemed to me, that this is one of the things that's sort of within these I am free to directions.
Totally, yeah.
Because once I gave up, you know, with my other ways of directing, I was trying to change how I was doing things. But once I gave myself the freedom to do it any way I wanted, then change happened.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really interesting.
I think that's a very Alexandria-ish statement.
Absolutely.
The idea that if you try, whatever you do is going to be in the framework of your old habit. So it's not going to be a really profound change that you make, or a useful change. Let's
Absolutely.
Put it that way.
So the real change that happens is when you let go of trying to change.
You let go of trying to change, but you don't just let go and say, "Well, I'm going to go to sleep now."
You do
substitute a gentle statement of what you would like to be like or do, like I am free, or I'm free to cook any way I want, or whatever.
That freedom, let go of trying to change, but then the freedom kind of then instigated the change.
Right. But I think you instigated the freedom by requesting it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's not like we're saying you don't do anything.
Well, of course. Yeah.
But to get at change by a direct, by force of will or trying or efforting.
Yeah.
None of that's really going to work. And that's a pretty classic Alexander technique.
Absolutely.
Idea.
Indirect.
Indirect.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we should end our conversation on that indirect note.
Absolutely.
And invite anyone who's listening, whether they're an Alexander teacher or student, or just someone who's hearing about this for the first time, if they have any comments, they could contact either one of us. I'll put your website and my website by the interview. And it would be very interesting to get some reactions from people about directions in general and these new freedom directions specifically. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea. Yeah.
Maybe. So my guest today has been Imogen Ragone, who's an Alexander Technique teacher in Wilmington, Delaware. Imogen, thanks so much for this.
Oh, you're very welcome.